if you blow your prospect away with good stuff for free, they need to know what else you can do for paid because you've shown them the light.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Jeremy, founder of QuickMail.io.
Hey, and this is Jack from emailsthatsell.com.
Today, teardown.
All right, we're kicking off things in our teardown episode. First email is from you, Jeremy. You got this cold email, and the subject line says, integration partnership with QuickMail. We're off to a running start. Let's check out the email. Hi, Jeremy. We interviewed more than 100 high-growth startups, most of them YC companies, and found that there are only two things that would make them switch from Outreach as their go-to sales outreach tool. Number one, centralized management and billing for all their tools. And number two, saving money, given that the quality of tools is the same or higher. We, OneTool, provide SMEs with one unified platform where they can discover, subscribe, and manage their favorite SaaS tools. Are you open to exploring how we could get QuickMail more users? Best. Signature. And at the very bottom of the signature, it says, if you'd like me to stop sending you emails, please click here. How'd they do, Jeremy?
Good title, integration partnership with QuickMail. I think it's a great one.
Yeah, I read that subject line and said, huh, not bad. It got me interested to see what was going on. Because look, I mean, in integration with your company's tool, that could potentially mean some big things if you're integrating with the right partner, right? Like that should get a SaaS founder excited.
Yeah, definitely worth considering. You never know, an integration or partnership down the line could actually lead to good growth.
Yeah.
But I have a problem, and we're a big fan here on the show to say that it should be a contract between the reader and the sender. And I got to admit that I don't really see how this is really an integration partnership more than just, hey, would you like to integrate my tool into your tool kind of thing.
Right. It seems more like a take as opposed to a give and take or a give.
That's totally right, actually. Yes. You nailed it.
Okay. Let's talk about how do they start off? You know, the intro sentence is so critical to making sure that the reader finishes what you wrote. Did they win your attention after the first sentence?
They did. I actually did like it. And that's probably why we're talking about it. It's too easy to bash really 100% bad cold email on our show.
Yeah.
We had our fair share in early episodes. I did like the beginning. It get me curious. It's like, we interviewed more than 100 high growth startups. Like, cool. You know, most of them being from YC companies. So, okay, I know YC. That resonates with me. So I'm open to know more at this stage. I think it's a good introduction. Okay, it's not totally centered on me, but I was expecting like suddenly we'd shift. You know, it's like, because we interviewed everyone, that's why you can benefit, you know, kind of thing.
Right. Now, this is an introduction that I think would fit any SaaS tool, Jeremy. I mean, would you agree with that?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. So I have to say, tailoring this, just throwing in one word, probably would have increased my vote on this cold email. I'm talking about the missed opportunity to personalize just a little bit, because look, I do like how they led with a really good benefit of learning from hundreds of YC companies. That's great. But when they said they were interested to see what would make them switch from Outreach, it sort of made me wonder if they were looking to replace that with QuickMail. I don't know. What are your thoughts there?
My thoughts were, at the beginning, I was interested with the subject line. Then I was curious. And then they lost me as soon as they start talking about what they found. And suddenly I could see miles ahead, like, oh, this turns into a pitch. And they lost me right there. If they stopped that, we interviewed, you know, hundreds of startups, whatever, would you be interested in either participating in order to flatten my ego or actually willing to share something of interest to me, then that would be okay. But here, I think they kind of lost me by saying, this is a conclusion they reached, and this is why you should. And it's like, okay, you lost me, guy, you know, right there.
I agree. So it seems like there's too much going on in this email. They talk about the fact that they interviewed, and then they drop findings from those interviews. And then they mention that they help SMEs manage billing and subscription to SaaS tools. And then they close it with, are you open to exploring how we could get QuickMail more users? So it's just not focused. And listeners my takeaway from this is don't try and say all of it in your first touch. You got time, you got follow-ups. Pick a theme for this cold email and stick to it. The intro, the benefit, the social proof, and the call to action should be aligned.
Honestly, if you take one or two steps back and you think that, you know, the goal of a cold email is to open a conversation, then I would have stopped really as, you know, we're interviewing lots of people. Do you also want to weigh on this research? Or are you interested to be kept informed? This is what your research is about. Instead, what I saw that is like a supporting argument for their pitch, and they lost me right there.
Yeah.
That's a shame. That's lost opportunity. They didn't open a conversation with me. They basically ended up into my cold email swipe file folder.
Yeah.
That's it.
So before we go on, I want to talk about the unsubscribe, but definitely covering the call to action here, because alone, hey, I love this call to action. Are you open to exploring how we could get quick mail more users? It's benefit driven. Getting quick mail users, that's a cool thing. It's personalized, so it uses quick mail intelligently. It should be quickmail.io, folks, but you get the point. And also, it's really easy to write back to that question. It's not asking to look at the schedule. There's not a whole lot of thought going on. It's what I would call a high value, low commitment call to action. It's probably isolated is a 10 out of 10 in my book. However, I don't know how they could get quick mail more users after reading this. It goes back to the aligning the message and the call to action point that I made. I'm a little lost here. And when we're confused, we don't take action. So inaction is the default state.
You're totally right. Okay, so let's talk about what they could have done better. So for me, to reply to this email, they would have need to ask the entire body, because it adds really no value. They're trying to explain me what the solution is doing or why people are going for them. But, you know, they didn't really earn the right to pitch me at this stage. So if they would have said, again, stick to the interview, saying either I want to participate or I'm interested in the results, and their interview is about getting insane amounts of new users in a very short amount of time, is that something that could potentially interest you? Then I would have been okay. It's like, okay, that's interesting. I want to know more. Because that's basically what you're trying to get is like, do you actually want to know more? Because then I can give you more. Here, they try to lay down stuff. It's all too confusing. Like you mentioned, they're trying to do everything. And like you mentioned,
yeah,
they lost me and default state is doing nothing.
Okay. So listeners, you're driving, you're going for your run. You don't see the actual email that we're reviewing together. So when we scroll down to the unsubscribe opt-out text, you have to know that the font is different than the actual body. It looks like the color is a deeper black than the actual body. And the text reads, if you'd like me to stop sending you emails, please click here. I need to get your thoughts on this. How does that come across to you, Jeremy? And keep in mind, this is from a German company, so they've got to play by the rules here. But even still, how do they do?
Yeah, that's funny. I didn't mention, the GDPR, which they probably break here, but like every cold email anyway, by default. It didn't bother me, honestly, because I knew this was automated. And, you know, like we mentioned a few times, if you offer me something that I crave for, I don't really care if it's automated or not.
Fair enough.
To some extent.
Yeah.
In this case, it just confused me and I'm not even sure if I should click on the link at this stage.
Yeah. So I'm a stickler for consistency. If you're sending cold email, just send yourself a test message. Make sure that the font is the same in your unsubscribe link.
Yeah.
Just because it takes 30 seconds to do. And to me, it humanizes us. Looking at this, for sure, it's a cold email. But if it was a little bit more natural looking, I don't know, maybe it could boost. But in terms of the wording, I'm liking how this is the workaround for GDPR, for canned spam. You know, just give people an easy way to unsubscribe. Yeah. Any other takeaways from the integration partnership with QuickMail, cold email? We shredded it up, tore it down to bits. On to the next one. All right, this is another one from the inbox day, Jeremy. So subject line reads, churn reduction / market speed increase - partnership.
You notice there is a theme here on this episode about partnership.
I do. What's going on here? Everybody wants to team up. So, okay, it says, Jeremy, since you're the founder of quickmail.io, I was wondering if reducing involuntary or voluntary churn of your subscriptions is on your agenda, or if you have any challenges with your go-to-market speed or knowledge / capabilities to sell internationally. so that your products become more competitive. To give you some idea about how we work, I'm sharing some findings and benchmarks on the topics above. Is this something of interest to you? Best regards.
Yeah, and the findings on benchmark are actually a hyperlink that leads to a PowerPoint presentation.
It seems like our call to action swipe file has been floating around the internet long enough. It's possible these are all sounding familiar. By the way, if you have no idea what I'm talking about, Jeremy, give them some link love. Where can they go to opt in?
Quickmail.io/goodies.
Yeah, you'll get the CTA swipe file. It's also on my site. If you opt in for it, you'll also get my newsletter, which people are liking, whatever.
Yeah, go to Jack's website.
Fair enough. I'm going to sell you stuff. Jeremy's just really nice. He'll just give you stuff. Okay, what's going on here? Another thing that you, listener, cannot see is the bolded text. So let me show you. These words are in bold: reducing involuntary or voluntary churn of subscriptions, and challenges with your go-to-market speed or knowledge/capabilities to sell internationally. And the call to action is entirely in bold. How much do you hate that, Jeremy?
Well, actually, it's not that I hate it. Like I mentioned, I don't care too much about the format per se. And I know some people are picky, and that's fine. What's super interesting to me and what made me smile and laugh internally is that it looks like all those bold pieces of text are actually custom variables, right? That they actually fill on each, you know, different thing. So they could actually send that to a different market, and instead of saying reducing, you know, churn, they will say, I don't know, increase revenue, whatever, you know, kind of thing.
Ding, ding, ding. Here's an idea if you haven't tried it. It's a great idea to throw in different merge tags to appeal to different segments. You should be doing this. I recommend it. It keeps your, let's say, cold email dashboard from having dozens of different campaigns. Instead, you could just have one that is appropriate for many different segments. I like this stuff, but please don't make it look different, right? Come on, help yourself out. Also, deliverability alert. I believe latest findings are showing that you play around with the formatting too much and the spam filters are going to take notice and they're going to judge you more harshly and give you a harder time to inbox. So I would not recommend using a lot of caps, lots of italics, lots of bold. In my cold emails, I don't think I've ever used bolded text, maybe once or twice for one word, but I really stay away from this, especially today. So we need to talk intro. The first thing they led with was, since you're the founder of quickmail.io, do they have your attention just by doing that?
Yeah, they do. I'm listening.
That's pretty cool. And Jeremy, you're a tough cookie to crack. So guys, you're listening. The bar is still pretty low. If you just mention the title without messing it up too bad, you can get your reader to read the next sentence probably.
That's right. I'm listening.
Okay. So where did they lose you?
Funny thing is, they lost me at the first bold word.
Why?
Because it turned away from actually willing to connect with someone to trying to pitch me something. I'm allergic to pitching. I want people to connect with me first, and so we can have, you know, an interesting conversation. So like Jack mentioned, I'm a little bit of a tough cookie when it comes to that. I don't want to spend a lot of time on people trying to pitch me something. I want to spend a lot of time on people trying to give value to me. And as soon as you say, you know,
maybe they were too direct. Is reducing involuntary or voluntary churn of your subscriptions on your agenda? I don't know. I mean, could that be the problem?
Yeah, that is pretty direct. And the other thing that lost me definitely is because they choose or.
Yeah.
So they lost me when they say they started doing their bold things, because it looked like this is, you know, a merch tag, and they basically address that to a lot of people and they keep on switching, which is kind of okay. But where they really lost me is where they mention different value proposition. So they say, you know, I was wondering if reducing blah, 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 or if you have any challenge with blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dude, you know, that's a follow-up. You actually make up your mind and you say, do you have a problem with churn right now? We can potentially help, right? I like people that are a bit more humble as well. And
right.
I think it didn't sit down very well to me because they were way too direct.
So let's make it better. So let's just focus on one thing, reducing churn.
Okay.
Take away every other quote unquote benefit. And
yep.
We're going to remove entirely the link they shared with the findings and benchmarks on the topic. And instead, what if we just said, my company's been doing quite a bit of research on SaaS churn. Any interest to see some of the findings and takeaways we picked up after interviewing a couple hundred SaaS founders.
Boom. I mean, that's it. That's like value for me right away. There's no pitch.
Yeah.
The idea is like if your thing that you're giving for free, which in this case is potentially information, insider information that would potentially help my company.
Yeah.
The idea is that it is so good that people are hooked and want more. That's the idea, right?
Yeah. So if you're listening saying, wait a minute, guys, I'm here to sell stuff with cold email. I don't want to just talk. Now, the takeaway, if you haven't been listening to the past 100 episodes, is really once you start a conversation, provide upfront value and show your prospects that you're in a position to help them, they're going to come to you for the answer. They will ask you straight out, okay, so what is it that you do exactly? And I promise you, like if you blow your prospect away with good stuff for free, they need to know what else you can do for paid because you've shown them the light.
And I mean, I understand people got their quota and they want to close fast, but I think it's detrimental to their actual success.
Yeah.
And if you don't have anything good to offer to people, well, you know, just make one. Because honestly, nowadays, I receive even like too much free stuff to even have the time to even look at those. So it has to be a compelling value proposition for me to even start looking at it. And bear in mind, especially if we're talking about SaaS stuff, you know, there is a lifetime value if you actually get someone and your product is good and you're delivering on what you're offering, then in theory, you get them for a few months, right? Even maybe years.
Yeah.
You know, I got people that are with Quickmail for since the beginning almost.
Exactly. And
you can afford creating something free for those.
So devil's advocate, there are some businesses that have a timing problem and they will jump over this opportunity immediately because you've hit them at the right moment in the right place of their sales journey, so to speak. And if that's the case, you're going to get that reply. What we're really talking about is how do you get four times the number of people into your net, into the top of the funnel so that you can close them, maybe not immediately after the first reply, but down the road, there's a lot of value by striking up conversations with great prospects. And you do that by taking a step back and not going for the kill right away. We're not getting soft on you guys. We're just showing you how the best cold emailers are succeeding today.
Jack, what would you say if, you know, my subject line was just like, we're all about churn. And inside this email, we're just explaining you how we live and die by churn. We're like so much focused on churn. We solve only this one thing, but we solve it better than anyone else. We've been geeking out on all the stats for churn and so on. And then do you think, you know, if I'm interested in churn, that I will potentially act on that?
Well, what's the call to action?
Well, that's a good point, actually. Huh. Do you think I have a better chance to have my call to action executed if I position myself purely on just that one thing?
Yeah, but it's got to be tied to a benefit. So I can tell you all day long that we're the churn experts of the internet. But if I can't put that into a way to help, whether by sharing information, offering to diagnose some classic SaaS problems that you may be having, or some benefit, it doesn't work. You need to connect it with a bridge, right? What would you do?
But here's the interesting thing is that in SaaS, there's only 2-3 metrics that are super important. So you're absolutely right. We should tell the benefit of people. It's just that assuming that people want to reduce churn is a very strong understood incentive.
That's not quite what I'm getting at. I'm saying like, okay, great. You wrote the book on churn. You can't just end it there or else I won't. I mean, you want to connect on LinkedIn, be friends? I mean, what's going on here? Like, tell me what I should do at this point.
Got it. So basically educating your prospects on what's the next step here to go towards effectively reducing churn because yeah, the benefit is understood here.
I really like the rewrite that you did just now where you're basically positioning yourself as the churn expert. I'm just curious, and maybe our listeners are as well, what could the call to action be if you positioned yourself as a churn expert that would get Jeremy to reply to it?
I see at this stage that there is probably a few ways that I would go about it if I was positioning myself as all about churn. I will do either, is this a priority this year for you, or you have more pressing priorities?
Right.
Because I'm only interested in people who want to, you know, improve the churn. A similar one would be something like, Is this something you're actually tackling this year, or is this something you need a little bit of help with? I'm not a big fan of that, honestly.
But what about this? I'm just kind of polling some of the SaaS companies I look up to. In, you know, Q1 of 2020, how big of a focus are you giving churn right now?
Yeah, love that. This is all around trying to pre-qualify the prospect to basically answer themselves, yes, I'm a potential prospect, or no, I'm not for this year. And that's also an interesting point.
Yeah.
The other thing that I would do is I would say, given all the SaaS I worked with, they usually typically start with a churn of X percent.
Mm.
Is that some goal, or are you already there yet? Or some stuff like that. Maybe
that's cool.
Too sensitive to ask, but I would definitely say something more like along the lines of, here is some more data if you want to, and then I'd love to interview you or have a conversation around it if this is one of a priority for you or something like that.
I might tighten up that call to action with a PS that says, PS, depending on where you're at, I could definitely share some helpful studies with you that should help you get in the right direction.
I really love this. And you could also pre-qualify even further by just saying, we typically work with people having a churn between X and Y. And typically within 2 weeks, we manage to reduce them, you know, by 30% or whatever. But that could actually be a follow-up, maybe, or something. What would you put in a follow-up?
Well, let's see. If you really are the expert on churn, you're going to have lots of studies, research, case studies, testimonials. You're going to have a lot of social proof. If you gave the keynote at SaaSCon, then, you know, you may want to ask if they're attending next year. I mean, just there's so many ways we can set this up.
Love it.
I just want the listener, you know, just listen. Jeremy just rattled off 3 or 4 quite different calls to actions that I'm pretty sure would have gotten him to engage. And depending how good their product, their sales team was, I mean, that's kind of how you would win a tougher cookie like Jeremy. And by the way, your prospects are also tired of getting pitched to as well. So a lot of good brainstorming on, okay, so how do you start this conversation?
The reason why I was laughing is, you know, when you're mentioning the churn expert, probably have a lot of material. You know, as cool email expert, we probably had like 150 potential follow-ups. Which is the number of podcasts we've been doing.
Right, that's true. Fortunately, we'll spare everyone on our list the 150 follow-ups.
All right.
Hey, cold emailer.
Yeah, you?
If you got some value from this episode, give us a high five by sharing a 2-sentence review on iTunes.
Or Stitcher, or TuneIn, that works too.
It's a quick way to help other growth-minded folks like us find this podcast.
So they can send awesome emails.
And make everyone's inbox a better place. Thanks.